But after he had revived a little, they once more began to discuss whether or not they had better take the giant's advice. Now Christian again seemed to be in favor of doing this, but Hopeful replied, "My brother, don't you remember how brave you have been heretofore? Apollyon could not crush you, nor could all that you heard and saw and felt in the valley of the shadow of death. Think about the hardship, terror, and bewilderment you have already gone through. You see that I am in the dungeon with you, a far weaker man by nature than you are. Also, this giant has wounded me as well as you, and has also refused me bread and water. And with you I mourn without the light. But let us exercise a little more patience. Remember how brave you were at Vanity Fair, and were neither afraid of the chain, nor the cage, nor even bloody death. Therefore let us at least avoid the shame that is unbecoming to a Christian, and bear up with patience as well as we can." Now night had come again, and the giant and his wife were in bed, and she asked him about the prisoners, whether they had taken his counsel, to which he replied, "They are rugged scoundrels, they would rather bear the hardship than kill themselves." Then said she, "Take them into the castle yard tomorrow, and show them the bones and skulls of those you have already killed, and make them believe that before the week is out you will also tear them in pieces, as you have done to those before them." So in the morning the giant went to them again, and took them into the castle yard, and showed them as his wife had told him. "These once were pilgrims as you are," said he, "and they trespassed on my property as you have done, and when I thought fit I tore them in pieces, and so will I do to you within 10 days. Go, get down to your dungeon again." And with that he beat them all the way there. Therefore all day Saturday they lay in a deplorable state, as they had before. Now when night fell, and Mrs. Diffidence and her husband Despair had gone to bed, they once more discussed their prisoners. And the old giant marveled that he could neither by his blows nor his counsel bring them to an end. And with that his wife replied, "I fear that they live in hope that someone will come to relieve them, or that they have lockpicks with them, by the means of which they hope to escape." "Do you think so, my dear?" said the giant. "In that case I will search them in the morning." Well, on Saturday about midnight they began to pray, and continued in prayer till almost the break of day. Now a little before daylight, good Christian broke out in this passionate speech, "What a fool I am to lie in a stinking dungeon when I can freely walk away! I have a key in my bosom called Promise that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle." Then said Hopeful, "That is good news, good brother. Pull it out of your bosom and try." Then Christian pulled out the key of Promise and began to try the dungeon door, and as he turned it, the bolt slid back and the door flew open with ease, and Christian and Hopeful both came out. Then he went to the outer door that led into the castle yard, and with his key opened that door also. After that he went to the iron gate, for that must be opened too. That lock was very hard to turn, yet the key did open it. Then they threw open the gate to make their escape quickly. But that gate made such a creaking noise as it opened that it roused Giant Despair. He rose hastily to pursue his prisoners, but felt his legs fail, for one of his fits took him again, so that he could not go after them. So Christian and Hopeful went on, and came to the king's highway, and thus were safe, because they were out of Despair's jurisdiction. Now when they had gone back over the fence at the stairs where they had originally crossed, they began to consider how they might prevent others from crossing there and falling into the hands of Giant Despair. So they decided to erect a pillar there and engrave this sentence upon the side: "Over these steps is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair, who despises the king of the celestial country and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims." Because of this, many who followed after read what was written and escaped the danger. This done, they sang, "Out of the way we went, and then we found what 'twas to tread upon forbidden ground. and let them that come after have a care, lest heedlessness makes them as we to fare, lest they for trespassing his prisoners are, whose castles doubting and whose names despair. Christian and Hopeful traveled until they came to the Delectable Mountains, which belonged to the lord of that hill of which we have spoken before. They went up to the mountains to look at the gardens and orchards, the vineyards, and the fountains of water where they drank and washed themselves and ate freely from the vineyards. Now on the tops of these mountains, near the pathway, were shepherds tending their flocks. The two pilgrims approached them and, leaning upon their staffs, as weary pilgrims usually do when they stand to talk with anyone by the way, asked, "Who do these Delectable Mountains belong to? And who owns the sheep that graze upon them?" "Mountains delectable they now ascend, where shepherds be, which to them do commend, alluring things, and things that cautious are, pilgrims are steady kept by faith and fear." The shepherds said, "These mountains are Emmanuel's land, and they are within sight of his city. The sheep are also his, and he laid down his life for them." "Is this the way to the celestial city?" asked Christian. "You are just on the path." "How far is it?" "Too far for any but those who really want to get there." "Is the way safe or dangerous?" "Safe for those for whom it is to be safe. But transgressors shall fall therein." Christian asked, "Is there any relief in this place for pilgrims who are weary and faint?" "The lord of these mountains has ordered us to entertain strangers. Therefore the good things of this place are available to you." "I saw also in my dream that when the shepherds perceived that they were wayfarers, they questioned them, which they answered as they had in other places, with such questions as, 'Where did you come from, and how did you get into the way, and by what means have you persevered?' For few of those who begin the journey to this place ever show their face on these mountains. But when the shepherds heard their answers, they were pleased, and looked very lovingly upon them, and said, 'Welcome to the Delectable Mountains.' The shepherds, whose names were Knowledge, Experience, Watchful, and Sincere, took them by the hand, and led them to their tents, and made them partake of that which had been prepared for them. They said, moreover, 'We would like you to stay here a while so you can get acquainted with us, and more than that, so that you can comfort yourselves with the good of these Delectable Mountains.' Christian and Hopeful told them that they were content to stay, so they went to rest that night because it was very late. In the morning the shepherds called to Christian and Hopeful to walk with them upon the mountains, so they walked with them for a while, admiring the pleasant view on every side. Then the shepherds said to one another, 'Shall we show these pilgrims some wonders?' When they had agreed to do this, they took them first to the top of a hill called Error, which was very steep on the far side, and told them to look down to the bottom. So Christian and Hopeful looked down and saw at the bottom several men who had been smashed to pieces by a fall from the top. Then said Christian, 'What does this mean?' And the shepherds answered, 'Have you not heard of those who were caused to err by listening to Hymenaeus and Philetus concerning the faith of the resurrection of the body?' They answered, 'Yes.' Then said the shepherds, 'They are the ones you see smashed to pieces at the bottom of this mountain, and they lie there to this day unburied, as you see, as an example to others to be careful lest they climb too high or come too near the brink of this mountain.' Then I saw that they had led them to the top of another mountain named Caution, and told them to look off into the distance. When they did, they saw several men walking up and down among the tombs that were there, and they realized that the men were blind, because they stumbled sometimes upon the tombs, and could not get out from among them. Then said Christian, 'What does this mean?' The shepherds answered, 'Did you not see a little below these mountains some steps that led into a meadow, on the left side of this way?' They answered, 'Yes.' Then said the shepherds, 'From those steps goes a path that leads directly to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair. And these men,' and they pointed to the men among the tombs, 'were once on pilgrimage, as you are now, until they came to those steps, and because the right way was rough in that place, they chose to leave it and go into that meadow, and there they were taken by Giant Despair and cast into Doubting Castle, where, after they had been kept in the dungeon a while, he at last put out their eyes and led them among these tombs, where he has left them to wander to this very day, so that the saying of the wise man might be fulfilled, "He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." Then Christian and Hopeful looked at one another with tears pouring down their cheeks, but said nothing to the shepherds. Then I saw in my dream that the shepherds took them to another place, in the bottom of a valley, where there was a door in the side of a hill. And they opened the door and told them to look in. They looked in and saw that it was very dark and smoky. They also thought that they had heard a rumbling noise like fire, and a cry of torment, and the scent of brimstone. Then said Christian, "What does this mean?" The shepherds told them, "This is another road to hell, a way that hypocrites take, like those who sell their birthright with Esau, like those who sell their master with Judas, like those who blaspheme the gospel with Alexander, and like those who lie and dissemble with Ananias and his wife." Then Hopeful said to the shepherds, "Every one of these appeared to be on pilgrimage as we are now, did they not?"
"Yes," said the shepherd,
"and held to it for a long time."
"How far did they go on pilgrimage in their day, since they were so miserably cast away?"
"Some went further than these mountains, and some did not get this far."
Then the pilgrims said to each other, "We had better cry to the strong for strength."
"Yes," said shepherd,
"and you will need to use it when you have it, too."
By this time the pilgrims desired to go forward, and the shepherds desired that they should go. So they walked together toward the end of the mountains. Then the shepherds said to one another, "Let us show the pilgrims the gates of the celestial city, if they are able to look through our telescope." The pilgrims gratefully accepted the suggestion, so the shepherds led them to the top of a high hill called Clear, and gave them their glass to look through. Then they attempted to look, but the memory of the last thing the shepherds had shown them made their hands shake. Because of this impediment they could not look steadily through the glass. Yet they thought they saw something like the gate and some of the glory of the place. Then they went away singing this song, "Thus by the shepherds secrets are revealed, which from all other men are kept concealed. Come to the shepherds then, if you would see things deep, things hid, and that mysterious be." When they were about to depart, one of the shepherds gave them a map of the way. Another warned them to beware of the flatterer. The third told them not to sleep upon the enchanted ground, and the fourth bid them God speed. So I awoke from my dream. Then I slept and dreamed again, and I saw the same two pilgrims going down the mountains along the highway toward the city. Now a little below these mountains on the left hand lay the country of Conceit, and a little crooked lane led from this country into the way in which the pilgrims walked. Here they encountered a very energetic lad who had come out of that country, and his name was Ignorance. So Christian asked him where he came from and where he was going.
"Sir, I was born in the country that lies off there a little on the left, and I am going to the celestial city."
"But how do you plan to get in at the gate? For you may find some difficulty there," asked Christian.
"I will get in as other good people do."
"But what do you have to show at the gate that may cause the gate to be open to you?"
"I know my Lord's will, and I have lived a good life. I pay every man what I owe him. I pray, fast, tithe, and give to the poor, and have left my country to go there."
"But did you not come in at the wicked gate at the beginning of this way? You came in through that crooked lane. And therefore I fear that regardless of what you may think of yourself when the day of judgment comes, you will be charged with being a thief and a robber, instead of being admitted to the city."
Ignorance said,
"Gentlemen, you are complete strangers to me. I do not know you. So you follow the religion of your country, and I will follow the religion of mine. I hope all will be well. And as for the gate that you speak of, all the world knows that that is a long ways from our country. I cannot think of anyone in our part of the world who even knows the way to it. Nor does it matter whether they do or not, since we have, as you see, a fine, pleasant green lane that comes down from our country into the way.